Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
You're tuned to The Toolbox, and in honor of the remake of A Star Is Born, we're heading down a Barbra Streisand duet rabbit hole. By the way, did they cast Lady Gaga because of her nose? Her and Barb both have great pipes, but an oversized faucet, if you know what I mean. Hey, I may be guilty of a bad joke, but never guilty of playing bad music. So roll them up, turn it up, and listen to Barry Gibb and Barbra Streisand on The Toolbox.
Shadows falling, baby, we stand alone. Out on the street, anybody you meet got a heartache of their own. Make it a crime to be lonely or sad. You got a reason for living, you battle on. With the love you're living on, you gotta be mine. We take it away.
Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, AJ Benza, with Gina Grant on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and Adam goes through his liked tweets. And now, with love soft as an easy chair, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a certificate of mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for spreading the word and sharing the wealth. We love that about you. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Fatty, Brian Bishop.
I want to thank Simply Safe. Go to simplysafe.com/M. Castrol Edge, titanium strong for maximum engine performance. And LifeLock. Go to lifelock.com. Enter Adam. Hey, AJ Benza.
What's happening, guys?
I was just listening to Babs at the height of her powers, and I thought,
wow.
God, is she lucky she has such a crazy angelic voice, because if she didn't have that, people would never stop yelling her to shut the fuck up.
Sings like an angel.
It should be an entire life of people going, shut up.
Sings like,
if you
like an angel.
Just remove the sing part from her life, she'd be the most annoying person
indeed
on the planet.
But here we are.
But here we are.
Don't get a nose job. They told her, do not get a nose job. Well, I'm obsessed with the fact that her boyfriend was John Peters, right? John Peters, who became the big producer, who ran Sony, produced Batman, you name it. But he began as Barbara Streisand's hairdresser.
Oh, really?
Oh, John Peters is the best, because John Peters was the first, you know the movie Shampoo, Warren Beatty?
Sure.
Kind of modeled after Peters. Peters' thing was to tell all these hot chicks in Beverly Hills who came for their haircuts, take your hair off, baby. You got to take it off. And that was his way of eliminating their power so he could fuck them.
Wow.
And he was very successful. And he went from being her hairdresser to being a producer on A Star Is Born to running Sony and making hundreds of millions of dollars.
And this is why we should have the utmost respect for everyone in the industry. Because they started, wow.
Yes, right.
Yeah. So is that when she got the short hair, the frizzy hair?
He fucking, yeah, that was the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They permed it out for Star Is Born, and then he was out of the picture, but you know, look, they're two Brooklyn people. He was a Brooklyn guy, she's a Brooklyn girl, and they spoke on the same level. But his thing was, take it off, baby, take it off. Remove their long hair, remove the girl's power, and then you're in like Flynn. And boy, John Peters, he's dyslexic. He can't even read scripts. People read scripts to him out loud.
Well, if you saw...
That's no your crime, right?
If you saw... I'm not dyslexic. I can't read. having people read... Yeah, it's a sign of nobility, having stupid people read things out loud to you.
That's right.
Menus and whatnot. Mm-hmm. The
anyone who saw Shampoo would know Warren Beatty was backing all those women.
George is great. They love George.
AJ has got an event coming up, a Corolla Drinks event. It's a costume karaoke with AJ and my wife, Lynette, that is, she comes up with a short haircut. I'll know. Saturday, October 27th at the Other Room at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. It's called The Other Room. Mm. So you can do that. Do a meet and greet afterward with AJ and Lynette.
So I'm basically representing the Corolla name to a degree.
Yeah.
All right.
It's Vegas. Me. Have fun. What's your karaoke song?
If I had to go to one, it's got to be a Frank song in my vocal range. It might be Best Is Yet to Come. I don't know how popular that might be in the karaoke library, but I can do a decent Frank if it's in my range.
Mm-hmm.
1960s Frank, you know. Mm. That's why the lady, I can go there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm dead.
Yeah. I do When I'm With You by Sheriff. And you can find that next better. And then I do both parts.
Wow.
You know,
it's very impressive.
You know, speaking of, my buddy and I used to do You Don't Bring Me Flowers with Neil Diamond and Barbra Streisand in high school in his basement with the acoustics. I did Neil, he did Barbra, but that's a good...
By the way, when two dudes do that song, the Neil is always the top. That's all I know about gay behavior right there.
Yeah.
Whoever's doing Neil, that's the top.
I sang this to my son and my daughter. Oh, God.
Instrumental version.
The best.
Instrumental version.
How about it?
Don't get me started. This is my... I raised my kids on these songs.
I don't hear any singing.
No, not yet. Hey, listen. Save it for Vegas, baby.
You came along and everything.
Let's just wait. We'll get you there.
All right.
We'll get you there.
Let's get through Sheriff, and then maybe we can double back and... Do you have Sheriff?
If we're going to go sing-off, I didn't know I was here for that.
No, I'm just...
You don't have Sheriff on a hot key, Brian?
I'm just saying. Come on a hot
key.
Listen,
if he's going to go Sheriff,
All right. I will...
Who's going to throw it first?
That's a fairly disappointing non-dairy creamer news earlier today, which is... Well, first things first. I was staying in a suite on our cruise, and I have a refrigerator in my suite, and they were bringing me fresh pots of coffee every day, and then a huge basket. You got the picture, Maxipata, of fake creamer. So, like, when I walked in my room, I was met with this. I don't know, in a world...
Oh, yeah, there's that giant bucket of creamer in your room.
A teeny creamer.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. I don't like fake almost anything if and I can get the real version of it, whether it be cheese, creamer, titties. If they're there,
right,
give me the real version of it. If we have it on the ship and I have a refrigerator, then give me that.
Sure.
So
you're a sweet. I can see for Joe Blow, they wouldn't hand over a little, you know, carton of creamer, but for God's sake.
I walked in the kitchen at the shop, at the other shop earlier today, saw that there's a bunch of sort of slick stuff on the floor. Then I looked at it and I said, what happened here? Lose. The crappy hazelnut corn syrup filled non-dairy creamer that I buy, I subsidized, fell over and started leaking down the fridge and caused a puddle. Then the two guys I work with the most closely at this shop, it would be Matt, the porcelain Punisher fondelier, likes his hazelnut. So I have to buy tubs of hazelnut because
dark days.
He likes a hazelnut. And the other guy at the other shop, Rob, had to sheepishly admit to me after telling me he was off it. The other day,
that
he was kind of
relapsed.
Yeah. He's relapsed.
He's chipping.
He was like back on it.
He's chipping.
That's no good.
He was back on
it. Can't beat that hazelnut, too. That's a hard monkey off your back.
Yeah,
hazelnut's tough. Swiss vanilla is easy, but hazelnut will keep you for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cruel mistress. Yeah.
And he was able to beat it for a while, evidently, or maybe that was just, Drew would just say that's a junkie lying.
Yeah.
He was just lying.
Yeah.
So he's back on it. And it's great. It's great paying for it. It's great slowly poisoning the staff. But it's even better when it falls over and starts dripping slowly. And because it's a cornucopia of corn-based sweetener, it always is a sticky, gelatinous mess when it hits the tile, too. But it's win-win.
Yeah.
Well, at least
yeah.
you didn't have to clean it Oh, did you clean it up?
Well,
usually do.
Well, listen, here, really quick, here's a food law. Why do they give us at diners, why is cream such a commodity that we can only get 3 inches high of it?
In the
silver decanter.
The little thing with the lid on it that always kind of gets in the way.
Can we get some fucking cream? Just give me like 8 ounces of cream. I'll be fine.
That seems like a lot of cream. Hey, AJ.
I like coffee with my cream.
AJ, listen, I love cream. Okay.
And that's,
that's a lot.
From one cream lover to another.
I got a problem. All right.
I just have an udder and we could pull it from the ceiling.
Walk a cow out to the table.
I'm always a little suspicious of that little stainless steel thing with the flippy lid on it.
Too goddamn
I'm not
small.
Sure how long it's been around.
Yeah, who else had this before I did? Yeah.
Yeah. There's not rocket
like
in there.
Like cornichons, like little pickles. Like there's a lot of stuff getting recycled in that kitchen right now. Yeah. Parsley, cornichon, whatever the fuck. Just bring it back out again.
I always feel sorry for the guy who invented the big bore ice water carrier with the spout in it. Because whenever that guy eats out at a diner and the guy pulls up and says, he wants some more ice water, and they do it sideways.
Oh. Yeah.
They do it sideways instead of using the spout. The guy invented that. Would have been like, no.
Yeah.
Right. I wonder if that happened to him.
I don't know. That's
they always go sideways.
Diners are a whole of the world. The lingo, the way they talk, whiskey down. They have it's like another planet when you go to a good diner.
Good Greek diner.
Greek.
With the same coffee cup, the blue and white
cups. Right, of course.
The Greek writing. Jesus Christ.
We had a little Dairy Creamer incident. And again, heartbroken.
On Dairy Creamer.
My heart breaks for Matt, Rob, and their family knowing that they're hooked on this stuff. Because also, the thing about coffee, especially if you just want to put a little cream in it and go Vinnie Tortorich style, it is kind of a way of, if you're counting calories, to have a sort of calorie-less experience. It's a way to kind of go, well, I'm going to skip lunch, but I'll have a cup of coffee, I'll put a little bit of cream in there, Vinnie Tortorich style, and it'll satiate, whatever. When you're putting the candy corn in there, you're not helping
the cause.
Get
yourself off of the knees.
Yeah. Something I thought AJ would probably have some thoughts on was Dr. Drew and the typhus epidemic. And another prediction here in L.A. and just what the hell is going on. We all saw Brian's funny tweet about Garcetti staring up into the heavens the other night.
I was so outraged. Yeah, Garcetti, I understand what Twitter's for in certain aspects. You know, it's just, you know, flowery promotion and aren't we wonderful and is everything so great? And it's like, hey, man, literally people in your city are dying of this crazy disease. Like, how about we set aside the feel-good tweets and get your hands dirty?
Yeah. Nine people in one city block.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How many people?
I heard on the way here on Gary and Shannon on KFI, I think they said nine. Just in that Skid Row area.
Died or been infested or whatever.
We'll double check, but they said it was...
If it's died, that's awful.
They said it's usually like three within a year and it's already nine.
Wow.
Your citizens are dying of typhus. Stop tweeting. Get to work. Yeah. God damn it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the sky because when I look at the ground, I see people dying of typhus.
I understand the whole SpaceX thing. You should be proud of it, but the whole reason SpaceX exists is because NASA and the government, you know, supplied end of it is kaput. You know, now it's privatized, so this is not something for a government official to be, you know, thrilled about.
Interesting point.
Good on you, Brian.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, let's listen to Dr. Drew. He made a video prediction. Yes.
Well, this is just a reminder of the flea prediction first and the murine typhus.
Okay.
So I've been saying for over 6 months that we're going to have a rickettsia outbreak in Southern California because of the homeless encampments. Rickettsia is here in the Southern California area, but when we get overrun by rodents, whether it is raccoons, possums, or rats, we get rickettsial outbreaks. The homeless populations are completely overrun by rodents right now. Our neighborhoods are getting overrun by rats, and rickettsia is breaking out. Called murine typhus. We're having an epidemic in Pasadena and downtown Los Angeles. It's a dangerous febrile illness, a blanching, painful rash of the palms of the hands and feet. See a doctor if you have anything like that. Control the fleas on your pets. That's the way you protect yourself.
Wow.
Oy.
All right.
I can blame my dog if people die. Rickettsia.
I don't even know what that is.
I've never heard of it. It's like a pasta kind of dish.
Yeah, rickettsia.
A little pecorino on top.
All right, let me tell you, we'll give a second. The second one's a prediction. All right, we'll do that one second. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe. Here's why I'm a big fan of Simply Safe Home Security. It's prepared for everything. If a storm breaks out, power lines go down, does not matter. Simply Safe is ready. If the keypad gets destroyed, Simply Safe is ready. They'll get you the help you need. Maybe you don't need to be ready for a worst-case scenario, but Simply Safe is. That's why Simply Safe is great. It's always ready. There's two eyes in there. Simply Safe, two eyes. It's just $14.99 a month. No contracts. No hidden fees. I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. That is simplysafe.com/Adam. Batteries last up to 10 years. No pulling wires. No drilling holes. No mess. No ex-con rummaging around your bedroom. It is set up by yourself. Peel and stick. Up and running. Under an hour. That's simplysafe.com/Adam. All right. So, sorry. Drew's second prediction?
Yeah, so we recorded this one last week.
It's October 9th, 19, 2018. We're in the middle of a murine typhus outbreak, which I predicted. Murine typhus outbreak is going to be 8 to 10 times worse than this, number one. You are next going to hear about something called epidemic typhus, which we've not seen in this country since the Civil War. It's going to be it's a lice-borne rickettsia. It's next. You may, within the next year, it's a 60% probability you're going to hear the word plague. And once that word is finally used, because we have a little outbreak, people will panic, they will clear the streets, but they will also start killing wild animals in an attempt to control it. It's going to be a big panic when they should be doing something right now, but they won't. They'll wait till the panic.
Wow.
Well, I don't want to undercut Drew's point, but I was just looking at the New York Times. We're going to be underwater in 12 years anyway.
So wash away all the problems.
Right. The fucking difference.
Mm. Aqua typhus?
That's right.
He was itching a little hard there during the speech. Is he getting anything?
Aqua typhus?
Just see him in a little... what's it called? Rickettsia?
Rickota.
Rigata? Yeah, no. Listen, it's flea shit? Flea feces? We got to worry about that now?
I guess
we
do.
Jesus Christ.
And listen, everything that's old is new again, like fashion, diseases.
Yeah, it comes back around.
That's right. I know you have some Khabib thoughts.
Well, I mean, that whole thing was insane. But if you know anything about Khabib, the fighter, his guy in his corner, Abdelaziz, this guy is a bad guy. Conor had mentioned that Conor meant call him a terrorist. But really, this is a guy who snuck into America in the late 90s and ended up in Colorado, which was a hotbed for Muslim terrorism folks. And he's really good at what he does. He's got a good line of shit. And he ended up in the Olympic Village and said he was a judo guy. And, you know, before the internet, people can get away with anything if you had a good line of shit. Well, this guy, he ended up becoming a – well, he was so bad with a certain sect of Muslims that – he was involved. His people were involved in the first World Trade Center bombing, the Daniel Pearl beheading, the shoe bomber. Bad guy. So when Khabib choked Conor out, there was all this talk in the presses before that Conor calling his guy a terrorist. But Khabib held the chokehold a little too long, if you noticed it, which you don't do. Then he spit on Conor.
Well, he did spit on him.
You know. But they're trying to say that the guy in the stands, the UFC fighter in the stands, Dillon, what's his name? The kid.
Dillashaw?
Yeah, they said he was egging on Khabib, but no. Khabib's guy, Abdelaziz, was an awful dude. He ended up becoming a rat for the U.S. government because we got him on 9/11, 2001, coming into America with like 5 passports. And he started working as a confidential informant for us. Then he snuck away and went off to Egypt again. We grabbed him again. This guy set up a Dominance boxing company. Now he turned it into Dominance MMA, and that's how he has Khabib and a number of other fighters. He's a really bad dude. He's a fucking terrorist.
How do you have
the
all
UFC,
this information?
I know a guy named Mike Russell who's a terrific investigative reporter. Mike has been on this guy for a long time. The UFC has to be careful of this guy. This is a really bad introduction to have this guy anywhere near your league.
Now, if I talk to Mike August, he's going to go, AJ Benza's going to get sued. He's going to get us sued.
Never been sued in 30 fucking years. I'm fine. Don't worry about it.
No. How about me?
Everything I'm saying is alleged, but you're okay with me saying this stuff. I'm not some wild fucking crazy guy who just spouts off shit and gets sued every week. It's never happened. Ain't going to happen to me. I got good stuff backing me up.
All right.
Don't worry about it. I wouldn't do that to you.
All right. So you say
I think I'm right.
Alleged.
Okay. No, the guy's a bad guy. Look, well, first of all, Conor called him a terrorist at the presser. So I'm not coming out of here swinging from left field. But the things I just told you about his background, where he's from, where he, that's all. You could check all that shit out. I already did.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm looking at Gary because Gary knows something about MMA as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
He says I'm right.
Gary's giving two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
He'll pay the legal bills if there's a problem. You're in good shape.
Burger Madoff.
There you go.
There you go.
I'd be interested in AJ Benza's take on this subject. We did a little Twitter poll, which was getting a massage, you and your wife, girlfriend, whatever it is. Not at the same
Both
time.
Both of them?
Not
wife at
the
and girl?
Yes. Your guma and the mother of your children.
Absolutely.
Not
Friday,
at the
Saturday.
Same spot.
Friday, Saturday.
Or yeah, same spot, different
yeah,
day.
Yeah, of course.
thoughts about the sex of who's giving the massage.
Very simple.
Simple.
I need a woman. I'd like to have a man because it's a better massage.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not too upset if a pretty woman comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be semi-hard either way, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
The wife's getting a girl, period.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even about if I'm paying for it or not. Even if it's her money, she's getting a girl. There's no reason for a man to run his hands up my wife's thighs.
Mm. I figured you'd say that.
I do the heavy lifting. If I need a woman to do it, it's going to... No. I want a guy because it's a better rub down.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no problem if a girl comes in and she's cute. I don't want, you know...
Yeah, right. You don't want Broomhilda giving you a rub down.
Fucking mustache.
No, that's an issue. No, that's a major issue.
Yeah, yeah, I don't want that.
But for the wife...
Girl.
She woman, gets a girl.
Sure, she gets, yeah.
I said that if most guys had a choice, they'd pick a woman for their woman.
I think that's
fine. I don't know that they would forbid it or make a fuss about it, but I think just given the choice, I would say that's what most guys would do. What do the numbers say? We got it both directions, by the way.
Yeah, so this one is, your wife is getting a massage. Do you prefer the masseuse to be male, female, or no preference? And 3% said male, 65% said female, 32% said no preference, and this is a 4,500 votes over.
I don't trust the no preference when USA Today does their polls. Yeah. Like favorite comfort food, like
no,
3%.
What's food?
40% fried chicken. 14% lasagna. 14% no.
I don't know.
No thoughts. And it's like just come on. What did your mom make you something when you're a kid? Minestrone soup or something? Like no, I got nothing.
Not a fluffernutter sandwich.
No, I think
fluffernutter was great.
I think 90%. Of the 32 no preference are just guys trying to be progressive and not be uptight.
Yeah, they don't want to do a gender thing here. First...
It can't be right. It can't just be like, I have no thoughts. No thoughts. My wife's going to get naked. This guy's going to get out the PABA. And no, I have no thoughts.
Take that poll when the guy's in the room about to rub her down or the woman's about to rub her down. Mm-hmm. Then take the poll. It'll be fucking 98-2 that they want a woman to rub her down.
Can I say this quickly? I want this to answer to be everyone, every male who's listening and might get a massage anytime in the future for your next massage, male or female, when they put their hands on you. Okay?
Okay.
You be the masseuse, Gina Grand.
Okay.
And I'll be in my belly with my head through that thing.
The donut.
Love those donuts.
And we're just getting started. You know, we're about 10 minutes in. You're working the scapula up top, explaining you got knots. And you asked me, how's the pressure?
Okay. Just trying to get in that scapula. How's that pressure for you?
Which pressure? The pressure not to fart or the pressure not to have a boner when I flip over in 20 minutes?
Oh, I was referring to your lower back.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay, great.
The pressure to not have a boner is much more pressing than the...
Understood.
Your pressure's fine.
Okay.
The pressure me not have a full boner when I flip over, or not farting when you start getting down toward the loins.
Sure.
That's a much greater pressure.
Okay, sir, if I can have you, go ahead and flip over.
Oh, no. No, I shouldn't have said boner. By the way, you got a hole in the table for my face? How about a second hole down there for...
I'm not following, sir.
How about a hole in the middle of the table and one of those pans you put under the leaky transmission in the garage?
To release pressure off of your hip?
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Okay, I'll let them know. I'll let management.
Every answer should always be the pressure not to fart or the pressure not to have a boner. Because that's really where the pressure.
Of course.
It's the pressure we're talking about as men, right?
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Please.
I went to a place in New York City years ago called Ananda. And it was a man, a woman, and their friend. Obviously, their gay friend. And it was a great place. It was all this one.
Wait, why is it obviously their gay friend?
It was, well, if you knew them, you'd know. Oh, that's obviously their gay friend. They were all together.
You should
know.
Well,
I don't know.
Here's why it's obvious. About 10 years ago, I saw a documentary about these three people that I used to go visit in Manhattan. It was called Ananda. And they were way ahead of the curve with the music and the waterfalls and the oils. They were way ahead. And exactly. Enya was playing. And I ended up finding out they all slept in the same bed, but I got the gay guy to massage me. He was a strong gay man.
Sure.
And it worked, but when I flipped over.
Did they make those?
Inevitably, I'd had the half chub. There was a little bit of construction going on, and he laughed with me, you know, like, okay, you know, I get it. He knows I wasn't into him, but it was like, you know, you're hitting some erogenous zone.
Your body's responding to,
My body's a wonderland, Gina.
Sure.
I can't help that.
How did he know you weren't into him when he was a well-built gay man and you had a boner when he flipped you over?
I don't think he wanted any part of me. I don't think I was the kind of person he wanted to
be.
Well,
he may not have been attracted to you. I'm not going to argue that point, but how did he know?
I think because the woman who worked there was a beautiful Indian woman, and I probably had the hard-on for her. Because she was still in my head.
Because you always have a boner for the person who's not in the room.
You saw him forever ago.
Keep one in the chamber for the one who's not in the room.
AJ, I don't question your sexuality or your proclivities at all. Listen. I'm just saying, how did that fella know?
Listen,
that's what I'm saying.
I'm on the hazelnut cream. What the fuck did I tell you?
The boner is a pretty direct message, no pun intended.
It wasn't a boner. It was just a chub.
The leather shave.
It's something's happening here.
Well, I would argue that most younger guys cannot spend a considerable amount of time on their belly naked without a little pushback.
Yeah.
Anyway, now you start putting the hands on them.
And your mind
and
just goes.
You light the candle and your mind starts wandering.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know if I go that a full hour without letting a little gas go either.
I haven't been a farter. No, I never farted on the table.
It's usually like the most vigorous I attempt to take a dump. I mean, with the most sense of urgency before hitting the massage table, you know, that you know, you don't normally do the Kirk Gibson fist.
As you round the bowl?
No, as I'm sitting on the bowl. Like, I'm really trying to work like an old Western well.
Fantastic.
But, I mean, you're trying to evacuate yourself.
That's a good point. You want to be completely empty before you get there. Sure, I get that.
Pooping on a deadline is really something.
Yeah.
You know, when you're like, this has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys had the Thai massage where they stand with the beam?
Oh,
they hold the beam on the ceiling and walk on you and twist you into a pretzel?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Thank God you can't see their faces because they're not pretty enough to get any kind of hard on at all, those people. They bring out old Japanese internment camp victims who fucking stand on your back. They are scared. I took a peek once and it was like fucking Odd Job was on my back. No threat of a hard on with that guy climbing on top of me.
That guy would crush your rib cage.
Exactly.
What? Well, now wait a minute.
Jackie Chan is flying around the room.
I've never had one of
really?
These.
Really? Oh, in the South Bay, we used to do it all
Shiatsu,
the time.
Shiatsu, right? Shiatsu, right?
It's just Thai massage.
It's a great
Shiatsu's
place.
Shiatsu's a little different.
You
I
go,
think.
You lay down, you take your girlfriend. This is early 90s, and you can hold hands with her, whatever, and then everything's quiet. Mm-hmm. And suddenly this little Japanese talk starts happening behind you. And there are people, it feels like hands on your back, but there's ropes on the ceiling and they're just dancing on your body, dancing on the back of your thighs, your hamstrings, dancing on your feet.
And it feels really
killer.
Good. But
it's good, but
if you do the straight up Thai one, then you literally are bent into a pretzel. They sit on your butt when you're on your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
They sit on your butt and then they pull your shoulders up. And then they kind of like maybe put like a leg behind your neck. I mean, you are really being bent around.
Hey!
Exactly. It is painful. It really is painful.
They ask you Pearl Harbor questions, too. It's just very pointless.
Hold on, AJ. There is a difference between the Thai people and the Japanese people, right?
Mine were Japanese. Mine were Thai. Sorry.
So,
no.
Call it a Thai massage.
I've been fooled by the reflexology, the Chinese like elbows.
The foot stuff?
Well, yeah, it's the type. Have you guys been to there where it's like 20 people in a room, yes, and you lie on the little couch thing, and like someone comes over and digs their elbow into the small of your back and then puts their, you know, heel their fist into your foot. It's
they're
very
amazing. Well, yeah, they're
it's
amazing.
Awful.
And there's also something called rolfing, which is supposed to, it's, you know what I'm talking about. It's
the fist in the butt. Oh,
literally,
no, it's not that.
Also, it's about getting in between the fascia of your muscles. Oh, so they are digging so far. It is so painful, but yeah, it's trying to separate the muscle from. Yeah,
there's one. To put a button on it. There's one across the on Pico near my house, and it's called Happy Relax.
Sure,
it is not happy nor relaxing.
No, it is not
Happy Relax.
Very painful.
But again, that's a translation thing, right?
Either that, or they're trying to promote something.
AJ, a million years ago, when me and Kimmel were hanging around back after we do K Rock. It was like, it's 11:30 in the morning. We're done with work, you know? So we'd like go to the batting cage. Yeah. We'd go out to Acapulco Inn and eat with a coupon, yeah, you know? And then we'd go, like, let's go to the batting cage. And we're like the Sherman Oaks Castle batting cage.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one.
And we walked into the arcade and there's a game called Violence Fight. I just always thought, I know the translation, like I know what they were going for, but they didn't quite get it. And I think the happy is the same. Ugh. All right. We got my favorite tweets. Do we, Maxipata?
Sure. Yeah.
Let me hit some casserole edge here and then we'll pull out my favorite tweets. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown. Rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance. Up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to be stronger under pressure, helps fight friction and deliver maximum levels of performance from your engine. Three times stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. It's Castrol Edge. Take a little of that liquid gold, put it right in that crankcase. Your car, truck, van, or RV will hug you for it. It is pure gold. It is Castrol Edge. Let's go full synthetic, people. Let's not mess around. Castrol Edge. Unlock the performance in your car's engine with the best. Castrol Edge. All right, what do we got?
Here's the tweets he liked. He didn't reply because he cannot type. Here's the tweets he liked. Sent in by you to piss him off all day and all night. Here's the tweets he liked.
You guys send me tweets and I just sort of click on them and I'll favorite them and we'll see what we got. You can tell me what we got, Max Pata.
All right, so this one was tweeted for me by at Ray DeJohn. He was at a Portland sports bar and just had to film it so you can hear the music.
Oh, the music. No. It's just an old school bar.
So he's waiting on the game.
Red Sox game, and they're just pumping in the chick electronic music. It's ubiquitous. What happened?
It's disgusting. It's destroyed the country. We only get to hear that everywhere. My daughter doesn't even like it.
She's smart. I don't know how we got there. Right. Like, it's a sports bar.
Yeah.
And you know what? I know there's like a thing where it's like, leave him alone or whatever. Pipe up. Like, hey, do we have to listen to this? Yeah. Who wants to listen to this?
Well,
like,
change the experience.
They'll change the channel for you on the TV.
Right.
Why wouldn't they change the music?
Well, you know, you
every
go to
barber shop, every place you get, I got my hair cut. I had to like tell them to turn it down. The sports bars, anything at an airport. Like, we're at an airport and they're just at a bar. Like, it's a bar.
I know, man. Give me some Sinatra. Throw somebody in there that might be a little different than a 14-year-old girl. It doesn't work.
Is anybody dancing? Like, what's going on? It's old dudes trying to get drunk.
Yeah.
It's such a vibe killer. Even for someone like me who's not really into sports, if I went to a sports bar, that'd be a vibe killer to hear that.
You know what? I went to Cuba once in a little, great little bar that's just, I mean, gorgeous, but we're there. Few guys from America, beautiful women, and we heard Cuban music, and all of a sudden, this is 1999. Britney Spears comes on, and we go, what the fuck? We didn't come to be a third world country to hear Britney Spears trying to get laid.
Right.
Oops, I did it again. We fucking ran out of there.
It's weird.
Yeah,
and if you think about sort of what's the inverse of this. Like, would I go to a Color Me Mine and pump in some John Hyatt or something?
That'd be awesome.
It would be weird. Some Johnny Cash or something. Like, we wouldn't do it to you. Right. Like, we wouldn't take our adult male music and
cheerleading practice
on you.
Yeah, at abortion clinics, we wouldn't be playing Eddie Vedder. Just calm down with that. Yeah.
Can't find a better fetus. All right.
Wouldn't that?
What is the next one, Max Spada?
All right, so this one, there's a new app in San Francisco called Snap Crap, which you use and you take pictures of feces like from the homeless people, and you could send it to the public department so they can clean it.
This is real? Really?
Yeah.
This was reported on the news.
Somebody's making money with this app?
Really? I think it's free. Like it just it's a free app, and you're just
.gov. Can I say this? I've said this a couple of times as it pertains to Los Angeles. I'll say it now to San Francisco. When it's that kind of thing where, like, you got a young teenage son, he's out of control. You're now hiding the nail polish remover because you've already hit all the booze and he's drinking hand sanitizer. Take a look in the mirror. Like it's gut check time. It's time for rehab. Shut it down. Mm-hmm. When we start putting barbed wire around freeway signs in Los Angeles, we needed to go, whoa, where are we at as a city?
Yeah.
Why do we do this? Yeah. Where else would they do this? The fucking place looks like East Berlin in 1967. Like, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. And let's just stop right now. San Francisco, you're coming up with an app where people can report human feces and give it to your van squad to come in there and clean things up.
It's like a GPS. It's here in the corner.
It's time to stop and instead of, you know, smell the feces. It's time to stop and smell the feces. Like, we got to go. Where are we going?
Yeah.
Where are we going as a city? Please stop. We should have done that when we did the barbed wire. We didn't in L.A. Now we got infestation and plague. San Francisco, you're right behind.
Yeah. No, they're really bad, San Francisco. They got needles all over the street. They're doing – well, look, if you play ball at the Oakland A's in the stadium – if the faucets are flushed a few times, the feces run into the dugout.
Oh, God.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They got a big problem. The Raiders and the Oakland A's they're stepping in shit sometimes during a game.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Be hard to enforce the no sunflower seed rule. Come on, Skipper. I'm knee deep in shit over here. Man, rules are rules. Yeah, but what's worse? I get it.
Hey, man, I'm on your side.
Look, if I had to have you step in one thing. One is sunflower seed husk. Now, hear me out. I know where this is going.
You're making a lot of sense. I'm on board.
Right. And by the way, that's why the Skipper wears the cleats. You always wonder, what do they need those for? All right, so there's an app.
Yeah,
and you can just report human crap.
Yeah, we had one like that in L.A. where you could report trash. I remember Dylan tried reporting the trash on our side street here, and they did nothing. So we'll see how this goes.
I found a refrigerator out there the other day, which is nice, because what it is they don't pick up, you know, whatever is in the barrels in the barrel. But if your fridge is on the fritz, they don't pick that up. So people don't want to pay to drop it off somewhere. They don't want to hassle it. So what they do is they just find a nice quiet street.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You go to the alleyway.
They just dump it.
Yeah.
It's a rat condo.
They just dump it there. So along with the mattresses and the pallets and the furniture and the sofas, I now was walking down the back street. Every 3 weeks, I take a detour down the back street to the other warehouse just to see what junk, what durable goods have been dumped out there. And there's a regular refrigerator.
Don't do that to yourself. Sure. Don't go back there.
I'm dealing with a mattress now. My wife says, we got to call 311. I go, isn't that for like an almost emergency 311? Why are we're reporting we have a mattress to get rid of?
Yeah, you can defer.
That's what you call?
City services.
Yeah, city services.
I'm so confused.
For anybody listening,
it's a third of an emergency.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, they have something called large item pickup, and I'm sure it takes forever, and I'm sure it's a huge hassle, and they have to schedule it, and blah, blah, blah. But theoretically, you can do that, but to the folks that may not have spoke English who dumped the refrigerator off on the back street, they probably weren't aware of the large item pickup or what have you.
Right.
Either way, Max Spada can find find it on my phone. It doesn't matter. It's a picture of a phone. It's a picture of a refrigerator.
There's
in the
everything.
Of the
we see enough stuff back there. We can,
hey, you
we can
got it. What is my next one, Max Spana?
All right. This one is from at Mark Iacolina. We always get these tweets every once in a while about people who – a new study showing showering less is better. Well, this one, a girl from the Frisky, Wendy Stokes, stopped washing her hair in January. And she noticed that since she stopped washing her hair, it stopped falling out, her skin stopped breaking out, and it's easier to style on its own. It's thicker, more natural looking. It was greasy for about 2 weeks, but after that, it has become a lot better.
Gives
for
in.
Because
yeah.
I think your body stops overcompensating yeah. for what you strip away.
Yeah.
Biggest scam in the world. Have no idea how we've convinced everyone to do this, I'm but here we that. Here we are.
I heard you do this a long time ago when you went on Kimmel ones and said you haven't washed or showered for a while.
Yeah.
I remember that. And I go, I do that. I get it. I have a nephew who goes, you have to shower every day. I go, no, I don't. Unless I'm really doing something physical, I will. But otherwise, no. I don't wash my hair every day. It's ridiculous. It's stupid.
Bad for your hair.
I know it is. The little I have left, I don't do it every day.
Well, how can it? I think the article basically says that shampoo's only been around. I mean, we've been around for millions of years, and shampoo's been around for 5 minutes.
Invented in 1877. Hair dye introduced in 1907. Hairspray in the 50s. We got along just fine before all that.
Right.
We did.
Yeah.
Seen all those Elizabethan movies. They had these huge manes.
Of,
yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I don't.
How long did you go? The longest when you were doing that?
Oh God!
I think he's still
I'm
going.
Trying to think of
like 4 years like, and counting.
I don't. My wife even said he doesn't smell. He's not a smelly person because they didn't believe me. They're like they were in New York. It's impossible. I go. I don't smell.
To be fair to them, you do look like a smelly person.
I have like a oily guinea look.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah.
But now in my 50s, I don't produce oil like I used to be, like a fucking
grease ball,
margarita pizza in the old days. No more now.
Yeah, I started to realize I don't think you need it for your hair. You don't really need it for your body. I warm rinse every day is good for what ails you. Yeah. And I do it every morning. I just take a hot rinse and I'm done.
I do little three slashes in my face. In the
little
morning.
Suds in the junk if you think it's your birthday.
Oh, you gotta go. Yeah, sure.
You're going to get a Thai massage,
nice massage.
Or, you know, that kind of thing. But other than that,
if I'm
going
to see Dr. Drew, I'll fucking
that's
suds
right.
up.
Suds
I don't
up.
Want any typhus on me.
All right. What else we got? Was that it?
We got one more. This is great. So this is from at Scott Swindler. He just wants to remind everybody, the Rich Banks classic, Constant Grazing, is a parody of a song by Katie Lang. Mm-hmm. On purpose or just awesome coincidence?
I'm trying to think. I've always said Mike August looked like Kate. When I met Mike August, I met him with James Dixon. And I said, James Dixon looks like Karen Allen from Animal House
all
and from
movies,
Bears Lost Ark.
All those movies. Yeah. And you can find a picture of Karen Allen that looks like James Dixon. And so I met him. They were a team. I was like, you're Katie Lang. That was August. Dixon was laughing his ass off.
Uncanny.
And
oh,
then,
my God.
And I looked at the other one. I said, you're Katie Lang. And the other one, I said, you're Karen Allen. I didn't even need to pick two chicks. It's just two dudes who look like
perfect.
Two chicks. And then I said, Mike is constantly eating. He's constantly grazing. Constantly grazing. So Rich Banks will play the song. Sorry.
Constant grazing.
August, the stoned pelican, always leaves his plate clean. If it's true, you are what you eat, then he's everything. He's the world's cheapest guy.
through a park, fighting a squirrel for a fry. Custer's crazy. He's always eating. Crazy. August. Constant crazy.
Eating.
So good.
Oh, that's great.
Before we jump off the Mike August tip, I don't think I've ever showed this to you. I just sent it to you, Chris. Mike Doty, he's the singer of Soul Coughing back in the day in the 90s. I'm sure they were on K-Rock, but he does a solo thing now. And I follow him on Instagram, and back in February, he posted this picture of a fan and said, "This dude, Ian, asked me to write the title of my song so we could have it tattooed. Thank you, Ian, for your listenership." I totally forgot about this. I stared at this picture for what felt like hours, and I thought, did Mike August get a tattoo?
Wow, that is Mike August. That's a picture of a guy.
Scary?
Exactly like Mike August. And if that guy was eating, I would swear it was Mike August, but I've never seen Mike not eating.
Yeah, it's
wow.
Crazy.
I was like, he has a tattoo?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. I was like, he's really into this band.
Mike's got a lot of range.
Yeah, he's one of those faces that can go in a lot of different ways.
To answer the listener's question, of course it's on purpose. As Katie Lang, the comparison's been made for years. Of course, it was a wonderful, wonderful coincidence.
I'm assuming it's on purpose, but I've never had an official verification. So maybe we'll get it. I mean, 99% chance, but who knows? I don't know. I never asked Rich or Lynch. All right, we got some really interesting calls coming up for AJ and beyond. Can you find a Karen Allen, James Dixon picture that's going to make us laugh?
It's hard enough to find a James Dixon picture. He's not really on the internet as much as we like, but we're working on that.
You can
right now.
Go to adamcarolla.com. You can look at these pictures if you like. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Strong cyber security has layers of protection spread across computers, networks, programs. Relies not only on technology, but also making smart choices. Keep your software updated and stay informed on cyber safety. Consumers also need cybersecurity to help protect them and their digital lives. In today's connected world, your info is out there, people. Let's protect it. It just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. New LifeLock identity theft protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and devices that can get into your devices, stuff you can't see or easily fix on your own. It's the best. It's 2018. Let's get going. It's LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for an extra 10% off your first year, plus a $25 Amazon gift card with annual enrollment. That's promo code Adam. Terms apply.
All right, it's pretty close. Now, Karen, I need a younger Karen Allen. Why'd you go old Karen Allen?
There's smile
go
on very
similar. All right, it's close. Just need a slightly younger
Animal House maybe.
Karen Allen, and you'll be there. All right. The girl.
Oh, yeah.
Was it the girl? I thought it was a girl. Let me just check.
What's
this.
What's that?
Detective. Bernie? Line 5, let's see. Bernie?
Yes, hello?
All right, we talked to you on Adam and Dr. Drew's show. You had the two smoke detectors with the low battery chirp going off at once in your apartment?
In my house, yeah.
Your house? And when I said to you, who owns the house? You said your dad. And I said, do you live with your dad? And he said, yeah. And I said, did you ask your dad why he's not changing the batteries on the smoke detectors? And you said, yes. And then I said, well, what did your dad say? What was his response? What was his response, Bernie?
He said, well, we're Mexican. We're not. We're lucky to have smoke detectors.
Oh, my.
Normally, I like anything with a racial tinge to it. Don't get me wrong. That seemed a little, because you could kind of say, like, Hey, Dad.
Yeah. Where does this end? We're lucky to have brakes on our car.
Why get them fixed?
Yeah. I mean, there's that answer could almost work for anything. All right, so I want to get now. Bernie's going to defend her two smoke detector low chirp. I've been doing Loveline for a long time. I've heard the one. I've never heard the dueling smoke detector.
Wow!
You got to find Max Bay. You can find the clip. Maybe the clip. We'll play that. Ray Carruth. There's a crazy getting out of jail soon. It's the most insane story in the world. We'll tell you about that. We'll do a take a quick break with the good sports. Come back right after this.
Hey, ghouls and gals, if you're in Vegas for Halloween weekend, then be sure to join us for costume karaoke at the Other Room in Caesar's Palace. Hang with Lynette Carolla and AJ Benza for a meet and greet from 7:30 to 9, October 27th. Then get ready for a karaoke contest fueled by a haunting amount of mangria and endless rant, judged by AJ and Lynette. So join Carolla Drinks, AJ Benza, and Lynette Carolla for costume karaoke Saturday, October 27th at the Other Room in Caesar's Palace. More info at adamcarolla.com. No ticket necessary. Just show up and drink.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Good sport.
It's time for a sports segment. It's time for Ace and Dave. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights, mixed martial arts fights,
riffing on bad Stallone movies, raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new week of hot sports talk here on Good Sports, presented by Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there. We have only a Monday night football game before week 6 of the NFL season is closed out. Make sure you check out the Dave Damashek football program wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, including the Adam Carolla show. And speaking of Adam Carolla, he's seated right over there. What's the poop, fella?
Hi, guy.
Hey, you. Ace, we talk all the time about sports, and I think you probably can be described to some people at the risk of genuflecting to you. I think you probably count as a hero to many people out there. I don't think I've ever heard you talk about. Who are your idols? Who were your idols? Do you have any currently? When you were a lad, you always talk about how your parents were or weren't. You must have derived inspiration from somewhere.
Growing up, I never give this any thought. I wonder about the wiring of the man who doesn't give it any thought. You know, like Jimmy Kimmel will always tell you what a huge Letterman fan he was and what a huge Stern fan he was and how this guy shaped his career and that guy shaped his career. And I felt the same way, but I never thought about it the way he thought about it. I just thought, oh, these guys are good versus this guy that's not good. Growing up, I would have to say Dr. Demento and Isaiah Robinson, outside linebacker for the LA Rams. Played from 1974 to 1979.
On the receiving end, though, of one of the most devastating runs in pro football history, when Earl Campbell lowered his head popped him right between the numbers.
It was not the place. Yeah, the breastplate is not where you want to get hit with Earl Campbell's head.
I don't think I've ever seen that before or since, actually. Earl Campbell just lowers his head and runs into him as though he's a bull and just destroys poor Isaiah Robertson.
The I would listen to, Bill Cosby. If someone had a record, I'd listen to records. I've listened to George Carlin. I got George Carlin early. As a matter of fact, the only records I ever bought growing up that I can really remember is like the Beach Boys' Endless Summer. I remember getting that record. When going to the record store was a big deal. I think George Carlin had a comedy record, Gary can look it up, called the Toledo Window Box, and there was like a pot plant in it or something. But the simple things of life, which was going to the record store and buying one record and not exactly knowing how it was going to work out because you didn't listen to George Carlin's, well, I've remembered his stand-up routine from all those years in Vegas or something like that. There was no, you were taking a chance. And also forced to listen to every deep cut on that record as well. If you think about the bands you like, you got the Pretenders' first
record.
That's exactly
right.
You had to listen to the deep cuts. And in a weird way, the deep cuts would be much more satisfying to hear in real time now as an adult than the hit that got played on the record a lot. 1974 was Toledo Window Box. I was born in 64. I probably bought it a year after it came out or whatever. I was probably 11 years old. And I remember listening to George Carlin albums. The notion of bringing home a slab of vinyl and putting it on this potter's wheel and dropping a needle on it and then standing there and just sort of listening to it. And then when you're done, it's like, well, let's just listen to it again.
Let's hear the other side first. Flip that thing over.
Right. There was that.
These phenomenons that you describe, I'm sure sound too taxing for some of your millennials behind the glass there, but I'm with you, and I'm not trying to, wax nostalgic or overstate that, but there are things like that that even though there were a couple extra steps to them, I wonder, they're not going to miss what they don't know, but I'm with you completely about the going to the record store experience and finding if nothing else, it filled time. It was an activity, right? It was something you wanted to do. It was something you desired to do. I gotta get to the record store and see if they have that copy of that I'm looking for. And then you look for, and that's what life is. That's why sports are great, is because they always give you something to look forward to. Can't wait till Sunday in that game. Oh, you know what? In 2 months, we're going to that play. We have tickets to that playoff game. Looking forward to that. That sort of thing. I can't wait to go and get that record. Now, they're just there on your phone for you.
Yeah, the instant gratification versus the foreplay, really. It really is. I mean, if you sort of take the metaphor of sex and just kind of apply it to life, everyone wants to sort of speed past any of the foreplay and go right to the meat and potatoes. But it's more enjoyable if you're forced to engage in the foreplay. Not pulling a page out of my own playbook, but what I'm saying is life in general, the drive to the record store,
right,
the anticipation, the going through the other records, sometimes the little things that catch you, like, let's see, George Carlin, Carlos Santana. Wait a minute, they're doing Carlos. Wait, that's his first name, Carlos Santana.
Yeah, that's right.
Why did they put... That Carlos is his first name. Carlin is
so right,
weird
yeah.
little questions that'll never be answered. Merely some stoner 16-year-old just doesn't give a shit. It just put him out, the Santana records next to the Carlin records.
Guess Who and the Who? Not completely different sections. Why do they have the Who in here and Geez? Oh, they got confused and somebody dropped that, yeah.
And then the weird distraction thing where you're heading off to look at your I want to get that Boston record. And then you stop or something like Boston. Oh, Bay City Rollers. I remember those guys. they got a new album out. Well, let's check that out. And you're looking at it. And you're trying to glean some information off it by looking at the picture. Well, this looks good. Looks like they rock.
But you're right, too, that there was the gamble. And, of course, you can remember the losses better than you remember the wins, as athletes always say. But there were those records you would get home. Boy, I love that song. If the rest of the record's like this, I'm going to love it. Oh, that was the only good song on the whole record.
Right.
But that gamble that you took was a lot of fun.
I bought Toledo Window Box. I got to find the cover of that, Gary.
I'll put it up on the
screen. George Carlin.
I can put it up for you. You're right, though. It's him wearing a t-shirt with weed growing out of a window box.
Mm-hmm. I also remember getting... I got Endless Summer, and I got 45 singles. I got a 45 single of Hot Chocolate's Sexy Thing. I believe in miracles. Where are you from? You sexy thing.
Yeah, right.
I got
and
that.
Half the movies of the last 40 years.
Right. I remember getting a couple of singles. Also, sad recollection of Toledo Window Box. Sad recollection of record days, as I've said, told you guys before, but it's like, you know how people do this? They love telling these stories, talking about waxing poetic. You know, look, I grew up in Brooklyn. We played stickball on the street. We'd give us a dime for the ice cream. Good humor guy come by. We'd give us the dime. Hey, we were dirt poor, but we didn't know it. We were too busy having a good time. I knew it. I definitely knew it. Like, I knew it. Like, Drew would always kid about his dad. His dad was famously cheap and always worried about money and stuff. And he would always say his dad would threaten him that, you know, he buys another pair of high top tennis shoes and you're going to take us to the poorhouse. Like he would always tell Drew, you're taking us to the poorhouse. You're going to take us to the poorhouse. And I would say, oh, my dad would never make that threat because we lived in the poorhouse. We were in the poorhouse. That's where we lived.
But some rich guys, some celebrities name their homes. Like, maybe yours could be the
poorhouse. My dad, when I saw him checking out like Chuck Mangione and Herb Alpert records from the library for free, I was like, that's not a good economic sign for this family. You know what I mean? The second one that was a bad, and they call them economic indicators. Once we're out eating dinner after I was an adult and my mom was talking about, you know, I don't know, they want me to get cable, they want me to get the basic cable package and it's got this and that, but it's like $17 a month and I don't know if it's worth it and this, that, and the other. And I just had this recollection, which is if something that starts with the word basic is out of your reach, that's not an economic. Maybe this could be one of those get or done, you know, sort of. This is my blue collar comedy. Here's your sign, whatever thing.
Uh-huh.
Basic economic indicators. If you're renting albums from the library and something that has the word basic in it is a bridge too far, maybe you're not doing well financially.
Maybe you're impoverished.
You may be impoverished.
I like that. By the way, I was thinking about it when you mentioned it. The two seminal comedy records for me, I had Bob and Doug McKenzie's Great White North, I think is what it was called, but it was a gem, and Eddie Murphy's first record. You need to make a record. I know you're out there in every other medium, but you've never made a proper, like, tight 45, 60-minute long record.
I just shot my first stand-up special. So,
did you?
We'll have something for people to look forward to.
Look forward to tomorrow's Good Sports. We'll have that for you tomorrow. In the meantime, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, Good Sports Podcast, One Sports Out. Good Sports.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.